All right. Well, I did say that we have a guest preacher here today, and I'm going to introduce him. This is Brendan Huff. Most of you out here know him, but if you don't, let me introduce you to him. Brendan, he's already up here. There he is. We're going to be 6 feet away. We got to stand 6 feet away here. There we go. He is actually, I guess, a junior by hours at Howard Payne. He's a Howard Payne student there, and what he's been doing, he's actually from Aubrey, Texas, up in North Texas, and I did get that right. It's north.
Yes.
It's that way. Yeah, it's, wait, which way is north? I don't know. It's that way, whichever way is up there, and he's been doing a supervised ministry class through Howard Payne. Now, he's been doing it this summer, so this summer what it looks like is it's about an 8-week thing that he comes and he works up here at the church for, it's a minimum of 12 hours. He's been more like the 20 to 25 to however many hours. So you guys can thank Howard Payne for all the free ministry we've gotten out of Brendan this summer. So, he's been up here and he's got a call on God to his life. And for a lot of the people that we do supervised ministry with, we don't necessarily give them the opportunity to be here and preach, but Brendan's one of those guys that we recognize the call that God has on him, and he feels called to pastor, and so we're turning it over him today, and he's going to continue on with our Haggai sermon series. We've been there, so you can go ahead and turn to Haggai, and he'll take it from there. But Brendan, you come.
Awesome.
It's all yours.
Thank you, David. All right, like you said, we're going to be in Haggai this morning again, continuing on with the series that we've been in. But before we get into Haggai, I would like to go ahead and stick with the memes of the week that we've been doing throughout this. And the first one I have, since church camp finally got to happen for our youth, I've got that one, a squirrel, arms big and wide, saying, finally, church camp is here. And then the next one for, I enjoy fishing, so realized why I hadn't been catching anything in a while. The fish are all wearing masks, not going for the lure. And then with sports coming up and starting back up, I've found the perfect sport for this time, fencing, the perfect COVID-19 sport. You've got masks, you've got gloves, and then if anyone gets closer than you, to you than 6 feet, you just get to stab them. So, perfect one there. And finally, just a friendly reminder to wash your hands. So, there's that. So, back to Haggai. Just to kind of give you a little refresher, since I know last week we had Shannon and Josh here getting to speak with us from 61 Isaiah and the ministry they're doing there, just since it's been a couple of weeks. The first message we looked at would have happened in around August 29th in 520 BC, and we kind of looked at the idea that we're called to more than just a casual relationship with God, and how we need to look to God to align our priorities with Him, and how to fight discouragement with that. And then the next message we looked at of Haggai's happened in October 17th, which of the same year. And we looked at the idea that we're made for more than disappointment, and that Israel, and how Israel was disappointed at the lack of splendor in the temple at the time, and how God, but then we also looked at how God reminded them to take heart in that, and that it was God's plan, and it was all perfect in the way He had designed it. So that brings us to the third message, which we're going to look at today, which is in Haggai 2:10-19. And we see that this one, I'll go ahead and read the verses real quick, and it says, on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries the meat in the fold of his garment and touches his fold, bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is it with this people and with the nations before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands and that they offer there is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before a stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When you came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When you came to a wine vat and drew 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the profits, all the products of your toil, with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. So there's a lot there. So let's kind of take a look at this. This one message would have been December 18th of the same year as those. It would have happened just 4 months after they started construction on the temple and 2 months after the last message that we saw from Haggai. In this, it's also the time of planting. So they're going through and they would have just planted their fields and are anticipating the timing for the harvest and all that. So I want you to keep that in mind as we kind of look at this idea that God presents through Haggai of how they're made for more than just their tough times and their sin that they're in. So look with me again at verses 11 through 14. And I'm going to read that again for us, which says, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches it with his fold, bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer is unclean. So there's a lot to that. So let's just, so starting at the beginning of that, you see with the Mosaic law, what Haggai's asking the priest is going back to the Mosaic law that was set down in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and was given to Moses. But you also see that he asked the priest, even though he knew the answer to this question, he went to those who knew what it would and what the answer would be and what would be so that the people would also be able to see that question. He went through the right channels for that. So what exactly is he asking? So he's asking, he was asking like, hey, if you're in contact with something holy, does that make you holy? Well, like the priest said, the answer is no. But then on the flip side, he was like, but if you're in contact with something that's not holy, like a dead body, doesn't that transmit that to you? And the answer was yes. So let me put it this way for you. So if someone is sick, they can give that sickness to someone. So the person who's sick in this scenario is unholy, and they can spread that to someone else. But then you have, a healthy person can't give that healthiness to someone. So it's the same way as it is here. And that, I saw that when I was preparing for this sermon, and it just stuck with me because it was like, that's a great illustration to see that of how something that's bad for you can be spread and go to someone else, but that goodness is, that holiness isn't the same way. So what's the implications of this for the nation of Israel? So you see that the people presumed they were holy from their work on the temple and their being around the priest. They saw those connections as making them holy and making them have that right relationship with God. But in reality, they were defiled and through their actions and through, and you see that even with them not working on the temple for 16 years prior to them starting again just 4 months prior, or even with their interactions with all the nations around them during the Babylonian exile that they are just now starting to come back out of. And then you also see it with their kind of the attitude of their heart. And that's kind of where we're going to go with this a little bit. But their hearts weren't even in the right spot. They thought, oh, we're going to just build the temple and that's going to fix the relationship. Where in, that wasn't it. So there was no way for them to, they weren't experiencing the full joy of God because they didn't have that right relationship with God. And there was nothing they could do to fix that. So you see a lot of parallels even to our day and age and kind of our attitude to things. You see that they presumed that they were holy by their work on building the temple and by contact. But then today you also see a lot of people who think that they've got that right relationship with God just because they go to church or just because they do a bunch of good works. And I'm going to be honest, I'm glad that's not the case because during these times we haven't been able to gather like we used to with everyone coming. And we also haven't been able to be around people to do great, good things amongst each other. And yet, even if that wasn't the case, it's still not the way God had planned it or the way. We're all in the same boat as the Israelites were then. And Romans 3:23 says, "We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And just looking at this, there's nothing we can do to reconcile that relationship with God, just like there's nothing the Israelites could do. No amount of good works can overcome the sin that we commit. But thankfully, and that's where we see the people of Jerusalem at this time, but thankfully, that's not the end of the message. So then continuing on in verses 15 through 17, you see, "Now then consider from this day onward, before a stone was placed upon a stone of the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to a wine vat and drew 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail. Yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." So here we see that Haggai's calling them to remember their sin and remember what they did that caused that separation with God. So to begin with, you see that God's calling them to remember what they did before they even had set foot on the construction of the temple, remembering their actions, remembering where they had been and how they didn't have that right relationship then. And then he goes on and he calls them to remember, God calls them to remember his discipline. And you see it with how they would go from plenty and all that, and that's what they were expecting. But then when in actuality, they only had a portion of that. And they weren't able to fully experience the blessings that they had experienced before. In Haggai 1:11, back in the first one of Haggai's messages, we see that it says, "And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills on the grain, the new wine, the oil on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and all their labors." You can see that God has disciplined them in what he's done for them and all of that. And just like the people of Jerusalem, we kind of have a tendency to fall into those same type things and forgetting that what God has planned for us. So, and it's easy to, and sometimes it makes it easy. When we forget what we have done, it makes it easy for us to minimize our need for God and why we do that. So that's why it's important why he calls them to remember what they've done so that they... Thank you. When we forget, it makes it easy for us to minimize our need for God because we don't see a reason to have that relationship with them. But then on top of that, when we tend to that's why he's calling them to remember. But then if we tend to forget the discipline that God's given us, it makes it easy to overlook that God calling us back to him, because he's doing that because he loves us and that he's wanting. And I'm not saying that every tough time that you go through is God disciplining you, but there are times that that's the case. If you look at like the drought that the Israelites were in during the time of Elijah, or even the Babylonian exile they were just coming out of, that was all God trying to get their attention and say, hey, come back to me. So, and remembering these things should lead them to repentance. And then we see in the next couple of verses that did, and it went on to restore the blessing he had for them. Now looking at verses 18 and 19, they say, consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. So if you remember at the beginning of this, I said that it was the time of planting. So they would have just emptied the seed that they had stored up in the barn from the years past and plowed the fields, done the preparation, and planted it. They would have been anticipating and waiting on that harvest that was to come. And from the trees and all of that, they're ready and anticipating so they can get the supply of food for the next years, as well as the seed for the coming years, to be able to plant again. And in this, you see that God's promising them a bountiful harvest. And that's a sign of the restoration of the covenant that he had made with Israel. And this was when the Israelites got their hearts back in line with God and what he had planned. And after repenting of the sin and putting their faith back in God, God restored them to that. And the thing is, this is the same plan of restoration that God had for his people then is for us now. In 1 John 4:9, you see, it says, and this is love, and this the love of God, he made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We are going to have tough times, but when we repent of our sins and put our faith in there, we're able to see what God has for us and are able to spend eternity with him and have that relationship restored with God. And if you haven't heard anything I've said yet, I'm going to kind of sum it up for you really quick. So just like the people of Judah had sinned and there's nothing they could do to regain the relationship with God, so we have sinned, and it is only through repenting and putting our faith in Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day, so that we could once again experience the joy that comes from a relationship with the Father. So now, just kind of in closing, I want to talk to two groups of people. So the first group, some of you may have put your faith in Jesus and have gone through that, but you're still looking for your works to save you. So maybe you need to remember what God's done in your lives to try to get your attention. Maybe you need to remember what you've done, but you need to repent and to come back to the arms of the Father, whose arms are open wide and ready to receive you. And then for some of you, you may have never taken that step of faith to put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I would like to invite you to do that today. In a second, I'll be down here in front, and so will David. We'd love to talk to you and just visit with you about that. So I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come back up here for the time of invitation. But like I said, we'd love to talk with you. All right. God, thank you for this day you've given us, and thank you for all that you've done. Lord, just help us to serve you, Lord, and to do your will. Lord, just help the words that you've put forward today, Lord, just help it to serve the purpose you had and help everyone to serve you and see your will and know your plan and help everything that you have set forth to be ready for you. In Jesus' name, amen.